proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
I recently watched an interview that the well-known Vegas performer Penn Jillette gave regarding a man who was standing outside one of his shows and wanting to evangelize and proselytize Penn. Penn, of course, is a well-known atheist and has not been shy in his views on Christianity. But it's interesting what he said in light of this man whom he called was sane and kind and not artificial. This man had given Penn a Bible and opened himself up for Penn to call him if he was willing. But Penn said this regarding Christianity: "I don't respect people who don't proselytize. If you believe there is a heaven and hell and people are going there and you're afraid to offend," or he said, "you're afraid because it's socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? If you believe that a truck was bearing down upon somebody, there's a certain point at which I'm going to tackle that person. The Christian message," he said, "is much more important than that, if it's believed." That is a fascinating interview. That is so eye-opening in thinking about the importance of what we do as Christians in proselytizing and whether we really believe what God has said in His Word, if it is so. Is there really, do we believe anymore that there is a heaven and a hell and people are going there? Thank you for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. We're always grateful you take the time to tune in. And we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All these programs are there, free for download. So do please make use of that web address and that website, agradio.org. Well, we're going to Genesis today on Abounding Grace. I'm going to read the first section of Genesis chapter 3. We're now moving into our study of the fall. And we're going to consider the first seven verses. This is the Genesis 3 verses 1 through 7. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that God, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." We'll stop there today. Well, we have seen in the news some very disturbing events in the past months. We've witnessed the bombings at the Boston Marathon. This past week, we saw a 2-mile tornado rip through a small town, leveling that entire town. The devastation just unbearable, especially when they spoke of the search for children under the rubble of a school. The story of a man named Tim Bosma really shook up a community in Canada. A man who was just trying to sell his Dodge truck, and two men take him and murder him brutally. Everyone feels right now how bad things are getting. And when these things happen, we really don't know anymore, even as Christians, how to process these things. But one of the questions that frequently gets asked in the midst of these sort of events, in the midst of murder and all of the terrible things that we see going on, is this. How could this happen? What would cause people to behave this way? Why would a human being do this to another human being? And hearing all these statements of considering the actions of people, the violence of mankind, I think to myself, haven't people listened to the Christian message? We've been trying to tell people why this world is the way that it is and why human beings can do this to another human being. We've been saying this and explaining this for thousands of years. But I fear that we don't even know how to think through these things anymore. We really are living in a time when Jesus said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that is why I believe we have to go back to Genesis. Genesis meaning beginnings or foundations, and look of what it was like from the beginning. And today on Abounding Grace, we come to one of the most important chapters in the Bible to understand life, to understand reality, to understand what has happened under the sun, why things are the way that they are, but more importantly, how all of this came about, all of this misery, all of this sadness. The challenge is, we don't like stories like this. We're not given really to listen to it. Hey, every story I liked growing up as a kid had Clint Eastwood in it taking down the bad guy single-handedly. I don't think I ever watched a movie or read a story in which the good guy loses and that's the end of the story. We want the story of us winning the battle. This is not how we write stories in Genesis chapter 3. We have all of these movies and all of these stories that depict natural disasters, volcanoes erupting, tidal waves coming, earthquakes, aliens invading Earth, and so on. And every single time man overcomes. With his great wisdom and human ingenuity working together, he can solve the problem. He figures out how to overcome the evil that has come upon him, and he prevails. But if we're going to listen to the Lord, Genesis 3 tells us bad news about man, bad news about us. And it should go without saying that if we don't understand how bad it is, we're not going to listen to God's story, God's answer to the misery that we have chosen for ourselves. Genesis 3 really is one of the most important chapters of the Bible because it tells us the story, our story from God's perspective. It gives us the real truth about man. And when we understand just what we threw away and what we lost and how far we are gone in sin, we will then long to hear about God's story of return. That without him, in his gospel of free grace, there is no good ending to our story. So today I want you to think with me about how we fell into this mess. When you turn on the news and you see things like we saw in London, and we see the brutal violence and the awful things going on, when we see all of this sadness and misery, I want you to ask the question, how did things get this way? That we might look to the Lord to deliver us from this in his answer. In James chapter 1, the Apostle James wrote something very important about understanding the nature of sin. No one should say when he's tempted, says James, that he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, and when this desire is fully conceived, it gives birth to sin. That essentially is Genesis 3. There's the history here. The single great temptation set before Eve, it leads to her drawing away through desire, and by the time it ends, sin has fully grown, and it brings forth death. Let's look at this today on Abounding Grace. Adam and Eve are made one. Adam has been given the responsibility to guard the garden, the temple, sanctuary of God. And in verse 1, we read that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" So Satan takes possession of one of the good creatures of the Lord, and he enters into the garden. He enters into the holy place. He enters into the place that Adam was to defend and guard, that God had assigned to him. And the first thing that Satan does is attack God's word. What was the Garden of Eden? Well, we looked at on Abounding Grace a few weeks ago. The biblical writers, Ezekiel in particular, viewed this as a holy place where the mountain of God was. It was the first holy place, the first temple mount. And notice here that in Genesis chapter 3, we have the devil and Satan entering into the garden, into the serpent, and he maneuvers around Adam, and he begins with Eve. You'll notice that he does three things in an attempt to exalt himself over God. He says in verse 1, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" What a scene. The beast has risen up out of the sea. The little horn has exalted himself, speaking blasphemous words. What is Satan's first attack? The first great satanic assault was an assault on what? God's word. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? We learn so much by studying Satan's tactics here in his assault upon the word of God. Every assault in the history of the church, in the history of humankind, has always been an assault on the word of God. But notice how he does it. When Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, I believe he was thinking a lot about the Garden of Eden. You can learn so much about Satan and his ways just in these words of Genesis 3. Notice first he raises the question of authority. Whose authority should Eve follow? And he's doing that by challenging the integrity and the good intention of what the Lord has spoken. So notice what he begins with. Has God really said that you shall not? Not what? Eat of every tree of the garden. And the perceptive reader stops when he hears that and says, wait a minute. That's not what God said. Already he's twisted God's word. Notice how crafty he is. What had God said in chapter 2, verse 16? God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. You may eat freely of every tree, Adam and Eve, of every tree except one. Now that's positive, isn't it? God had given one prohibition, but he had given them free enjoyment of all the trees of the Garden of Eden. Now, do you see what Satan just did? It's no wonder Jesus said he was the father of lies from the beginning. He twisted God's words as subtly as possible with what kind of goal? Well, the first kind of seed of doubt he planted in Eve's mind was a doubt about the goodness of the Lord. What do I mean? Think about it. This would be like a teenager who's received the love and the care of his parents. But there are rules and there are boundaries put into place that are designed to protect the teenager, to watch over the teenager. Because the fact is, teenagers are not wise enough yet to be on their own. They need parental authority. They need parental guidance. They're not adults yet in the sense of adults. So parents say, we allow you to do all sorts of things. We're going to give you, dear son or daughter, a lot of freedom. And you can do this and you can do that. But in this particular event that you have asked us to go to, or this particular thing you want to do, we're going to say no. It's dangerous. What happens? A friend comes along and says, your parents are too strict. They're not letting you do anything. That's cruel. And soon enough, the teenager has bought into the lie that his parents are too binding, too restrictive, because they won't let him do anything. Now, what's the reality? That teenager's been given all sorts of freedom. That teenager's been given a lot of freedom to do things. But this one prohibition, this one thing they said no on, has now been turned into an absolute no as too binding on all of life. That's Genesis 3. Satan comes along subtly. God has said you can't eat of all of those trees, hasn't he? And right then and there, he planted in Eve's mind the idea that God is way too restrictive. He is holding you back. This is an unreasonable burden upon you. He's way too hard on you, Eve. So in verse 5, he adds to it, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Here's the real clear hit. Not only does Satan twist God's word, not only does he attack God's goodness, but he calls God himself a liar. Has God really said? He's not out for your own best interests. He's not good. He doesn't really wish the best for you, or he wouldn't hold you back. What God doesn't want to happen to you is he doesn't want you to become like him. Did you hear what Satan just did? He's not out for you. He's out for himself. He's a cruel God. If you rebel from him and eat of the tree, what will really happen is you will become like God. What does that mean? What he was essentially saying is you will become what God is. You will become your own God. You will have your own autonomy. You will be able to determine reality. You will be able to live in freedom apart from him. Because you see, Eve, right now, you're not really free. He's holding you back. He's taking away from you what should be yours. And you see, dear listener, this is the essence of Satan's temptation. And that is what Satan has been doing in this sad world ever since. How does he do it today? How many of you really deep down view God this way? Think about it. What is your view of God, dear listener? What was the young prodigal's view? I need to be freed from my father's house. I need to get the inheritance and run. It will be better away from my father's house. This is the temptation, you know? This is the temptation that you are being hit with in some degree in your life right now. The greatest issue of life being, whose authority are you under? This is the reality. This is why Jesus said you can't serve two masters. This is the temptation that has come. Will you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, or will you pursue your own way of understanding in life, dear listener? This is the proposal. You're going to do your own thing, or are you going to submit to the word of God? Satan has first assaulted God's word. He's twisted it. He's planted the seed in Eve that God is too strict, that he's domineering, that he's harsh, that he's overbearing, that he doesn't have the best intentions for us. Everyone pursuing a path of rebellion starts here, by the way. They're confronted with what God's word says. They're confronted with the law, and immediately the temptation is to question whether they really understood it. I'll show you this. You know, this is what the devil does. The devil twists it. He spins it. And so now they're forced to deal with the issue. He has her at this point. He has Eve at this point. He says in verse 2, actually she says in verse 2 in her response, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Notice what's happened to Eve at the devil's instigation. Eve herself is beginning to question the meaning of the commandment. She begins to entertain what is proposed to her. She's being held back. The idea that God is being unreasonable in his command. And she is now reinterpreting it. She throws in a whole slant on the command. We're not even supposed to touch it. God didn't say that. But she's already entertained in her mind the idea that God's ways are unreasonable, and that she now is adding to that burden of the command by imposing her own added suggestion that God is overbearing, that God is restricting. Pondering what God had said, feeling like she's being hindered, what are the next words from Satan? "You will not surely die. Eve, you will not die if you eat of this tree." Listen, this is really important today on Abounding Grace. What was the first doctrine to be openly denied in the scriptures? What was the first doctrine that Satan flat out said it won't happen? Did you hear it? It's the doctrine of divine judgment. Satan completely assaults the idea that there will be any consequence to actions. He assaults the idea that God will judge. And with that, what did he do? He took away her fear. This is the greatest lie that is perpetuated to this day, dear listener, that you can go out, that you can live and do whatever you want to do, all under the banner that you have your own right to live however you want to live, and no one can tell you how you should live. No one can tell me how I should live. Hey, we're interpreting reality. We're interpreting our realities. We're defining truth as we see it. We're our own gods. Isn't that what this is today? We've all become our own little gods. And at the end of the day, the greatest lie that we have all bought into, that many in the Christian world have bought into, is that God is not going to judge. And if you don't believe that, ask yourself if you're a Christian when the last time your pastor preached on the doctrine of hell. There's no consequences for actions anymore. And when you take away the consequence for actions, what stops people from doing whatever they want to do? What stops people from becoming lawless? Satan was saying, God won't perform judgments on your sins. Come on, I can hear it already. If this were our day, he was saying, come on, he's understanding, he's tolerant. We can imagine Satan saying, he's a God of love. He will be tolerant and he will understand your sin. He'll accept you just as you are. God is a loving God. The church is full of sinners. Lest we be hypocrites, we should not be too legalistic and judgmental on things. Let it alone. And do you see what we do? Our whole tendency is to downplay sin. Our whole tendency is to make excuses and explain away the very commandments of God and the consequences of breaking those commandments. So at the end of the day, we've removed a God who is a threat to us. We have tailored a God to our liking. We've removed those attributes that are an offense to us, creating only of God of the attributes that we like, that we are comfortable with. The pathology of this dialogue is so clear, isn't it, dear listener? Satan offers a question based on the perversion of God's word. And then Eve begins to question it herself. It's evidenced by her revisions of God's word. And then Satan is free to declare that God's word is wrong. One pastor said in describing that whole thing, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So we read the sad words, dear listener, in verse 6. Very sad words, some of the saddest words in all of the Bible. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. That statement right there becomes the most defining path of apostasy throughout the history of the human race. They defected and turned from the living God and align themselves with Satan. And you see, dear listener, this is the sad reality that this world is in today. That's why we see so much hatred, so much violence, so much hostility, so much sin, so much misery, so much divorce, so much murder. I mean, you go right down the line. Our society is full of people. Every person is full and bent on evil and destruction and misery. Romans 3, our ways. That's bad news, isn't it? Our story hasn't turned out very well. But God didn't leave it there. God did not leave it there. And that's the beauty of what we're going to come back and consider tomorrow. God announced something after the fall. When the curses were pronounced and death had come, God announced that he would raise up another who would become the curse and take on death himself. That whosoever believes in him, the second Adam, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't have to stay this sad world. God could have cast us all into hell. That's what we deserve. But this loving God did something. He acted. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under its curse. Dear listener, you're under the curse. You're under the curse if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. And our plea is, come to him. He can rescue you and save you from the misery that you've chosen. And he can give you life, life eternal, even going through this life with lasting peace and joy. And then when we die, we go to be with him in a new heavens and a new earth that he's created, where righteousness shall dwell. Dear listener, come this day to Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a program devoted to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. We invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.